There had been rumours of an Isgara regiment turning renegade, and the Father Admiral urgently needed to know if there were any other similar rogue vessels in the stellar vicinity. His orders were clear. Capture and interrogate. Standing at his elevated command console, the Sandrukan captain surveyed projected screens full of scan data on the human vessel. The sensors had detected some 47 life signs, whereas the Ivwa Kagoi's complement came to 25.
"But humans are like children next to us," the captain thought. "My crew should be able to overcome them without difficulty. However, Isgara prisoners may present a problem. A degree of caution and subterfuge is required."
He was consulting with the ship's machine intelligence and his own mind companion when visual updates streamed across his command screens. Minor explosions aboard the Isgara vessel had expelled some lesser debris, hull armour, outer bulkhead fragments, components, cabling, and white clouds of escape gases. There was also a larger object that looked to have been partially dislodged from its fastenings. One of the screens showed it swinging out from a shallow recess on the Isgara vessel's underside still attached. Then something gave way, and the object, now visible as a small shuttle pod, was flung outwards by the still-spinning ship. One sensor cluster tracked its slow-tumbling progress for a moment or two. The expert system observed the erratic misfiring of its attitude thrusters, noted the absence of life forms aboard, and demoted its monitoring priority. So when one of the shuttle pod's port thrusters fired in longer bursts, sending it into a tighter, faster spin, the sensor's expert system failed to register it as a problem. Until it came out of its spin on a fast intercept trajectory, all thrusters on full burn, driving it towards the hegemony ship. Collision alarm started yammering on the bridge, and the machine mind advised the captain and his officers to retreat to the midsection. But, with only a few seconds to react, they had only begun moving to the exits when the shuttle crashed nose first into the viewport. Armoured glass barriers shattered under the impact, layers of hull around it bent and split, and the shuttle's blunt prow burst through into the bridge. Suddenly, there was the shriek of escaping atmosphere, and emergency face masks popped out of their wall niches. But the force of depressurization dragged the captain towards the smashed-in viewport just as it dislodged the shuttle and propelled it back out. Followed by the suffocated, flash-frozen bodies of the captain and his officers. On board the Starfire, Greg turned to Lieutenant Malachi Ash and said,
"Well, it came off very well, I think."
"I'll be happier when the ship's in our hands," said Ash. "The next part will not be pretty and could go badly wrong if they decide to rig the drives to self-destruct."
It took 20 minutes to maneuver alongside the hegemony vessel, which was still heading along its original course, even though the thrust drive had been shut down. The Starfire's attitudinal jets were functioning, but that was about all. The hyperdrive was half-slagged and most of the generators were blown, which meant that the weaponry could be neither powered nor aimed. Greg just hoped that this hijacking didn't result in 2 wrecked ships. Greg's experience of close-quarter combat was nearly non-existent, so Ash made him stay with the rear guard, watching over the medical team and the ammo bearers.